All right, and we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsha. I'm Anthony, and on the line is PGA Professional Silver Mine Golf Club and Met PGA Champion Peter Ballo. Peter, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you, Anthony?
Doing well. Thank you for joining me. I know you got a busy morning and afternoon, but I appreciate your time this morning.
No problem. I appreciate the thought and looking forward to it.
Before we get to the golf part, I did a little research last night, and I saw that you had a little ice hockey in your background. I have to ask, first of all, Ranger or Islander fan?
Unfortunately, I'm a Detroit Red Wings fan.
Oh, no. What's going on? Well, yeah. It's original six, so I can respect that.
Yeah, original six. When I was younger, I was pretty big into it, and I was in Detroit for a hockey tournament, and, I got to meet some of the great Red Wings and Chris Chelios, Steve Yzerman, Ted Lindsay. And I was kind of young enough at that point where I kind of could decide where I wanted to be and who I wanted to like. And I just kind of stuck with them really ever since. I was probably like 9 or 10 at the time.
That's awesome.
So I've just kind of stuck with them since I got to meet them, got their autographs. And I played against Yzerman and Chelios' son in that tournament. So that's kind of where that history came from.
That's pretty interesting. Did you ice hockey was a big part of your adolescence, you might say, and what was it that you liked about ice hockey?
Yeah, it really was. From the age of about 8 until about my junior year of high school, I pretty much played year round.
Uh-huh.
Probably only took a couple weeks off a year. Played summer hockey, winter, fall, kind of did everything. I enjoyed kind of the adrenaline that came with it, and then once I got old enough for the contact, I really embraced that, and I loved the whole contact aspect, the team aspect. The traveling was awesome. A lot of my summer teams, I spent a lot of time in Canada, in Edmonton, Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, Quebec, and then all up down in New England and Boston, Rhode Island, Providence, and all over. It was just a fun time, just, growing up with all of these guys, and pretty much I played with, the same kids in the summer and the winter for 6-7 years. It was kind of a bond that we built, and it was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
What position did you play?
I was mainly a forward for most of my time growing up, and then I played defense in the summer, probably starting around 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
So then I kind of played like summer D, winter was offense. And then when I played in high school for Trinity Catholic, my high school coach, Chris Gerwig, he decided to kind of use me for forward for regular shifts. And for power play and penalty kill, I played defense. So I kind of did both through high school, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, a little jack of all trades there. That's pretty good. Being all
anything
over the ice.
Except goalie.
Exactly.
I didn't want to get in front of those slap shots.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm familiar with all that. My son is 12 now. He's been playing, so I am familiar with all of what you speak of, the traveling, the time. But I could see the fraternity with his friends that he's been playing with for a couple of years now, and so he also plays roller hockey. So with the same group of guys, so the team kind of like travels together. It's pretty fun, and I can appreciate that camaraderie and bond that you speak of. Did ice hockey ever have it? Was that ever in the plans for college? I know you played golf in college, obviously, but at what point did you say maybe not?
It's kind of an unfortunate way how it happened. Through high school, it was, I was still pretty much a hockey player and a golfer.
Yeah.
Was kind of like that second sport. And, I had prep schools that looked at me, and I, looked into it and did a lot of visits over my freshman, sophomore, and junior year. And, I just didn't really want to go away from home.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go away from the coach that I had. I learned so much from him. Just my freshman year when I left my youth program to go to high school, and I got so much better, and I just knew that I could continue to grow with them. And then my senior year of high school hockey, I got hurt about 6 games in. and tore some cartilage in my wrist. So then I, when I went to the doctor, you know, I kind of had a decision where it was either, you know, you can kind of play through this if you just immobilize it a little bit on off days. And then, you know, my mom and I told the doctor, well, we kind of have a golf scholarship that's kind of waiting for us. And, you know, we're not far away from a national letter of intent day. And then when Meats told him that, he essentially said, okay, well,
you're done.
Since this is part of it, he goes, well, I think if this is going to be a serious thing, we probably should immobilize it for about 8 weeks to 9 weeks fully. And
right.
Essentially when that happened, and I took that big stride for that, you know, I kind of waited a little bit through that to kind of decide what I was going to do. And then I knew, like, I knew I had to go do another year of schooling and maybe juniors and stuff. And then, so I just kind of decided to jump onto the golf train from there and put my full effort into that.
You know, when you look back on it, and you might say that it was unfortunate, but in some ways it may have, that injury may have sort of galvanized your decision making as opposed to sort of wavering. You know, you might have been a little more torn if you had been healthy. You know, it might have been a very different situation. In some levels, I guess you might say that injury sort of forced you into, you know, prioritizing and figuring out what was important to you and what was what you wanted to do and going to do. And maybe in that way it kind of helped.
Definitely. You know, like everyone says, there's always defining moments and
yep.
things that happen, and they happen for a reason. And, you know, kind of looking back, obviously, now and where I am and the life that I live and, you know, the joy that I have for this sport, which I've always had, obviously, with the history of my parents and my brother, you know, it definitely was one of those defining moments that, you know, definitely played into a huge role into where I am today, for sure.
Yeah. And then one last hockey question. Just interesting, I saw you did a little coaching. How much was it going from player to coach? And then how much did that give you an appreciation for what you would be doing today?
It was great. You know, I kind of was lucky that my high school hockey coach, who I'm very close with, kind of look at him as like another older brother of mine. When I went to school and I started playing college golf and I was still kind of up here in the winters, he gave me the opportunity to kind of just help volunteer. And then I took a year off after my sophomore year of college, and I got really kind of into it. And then I transferred up to Sacred Heart, where I graduated and played golf for them. And because I was still very local, he was very gracious to allow me to continue to coach with him through those 2 years that I had up there. And I loved it, man. You know, I was lucky enough that I kind of got into the Bantam A level right away.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to deal with eighth graders and ninth graders and some seventh graders. So it was, for me, it was an easy transition because I had kids who were kind of old enough to understand everything that I could say to them. You know, because I was really speaking to them more as a player than a coach at the time, because that was really my first time doing it, you know.
Right, sure.
But they were, you know, they were old enough to kind of understand that when I first started that I didn't know the difference of kind of the player coach. So, you know, they also understood my emotion that I had, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I wanted to see them succeed, you know, almost as much as the head coach did, but, you know, in a different way, where I'm looking at it, it was like, I want to be there with you, helping you and doing it. And then I got to coach Darien High School with him as well. And, you know, now I step up to another age bracket of kids, you know, 15, 18 years old. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I definitely was able to take parts of what I've learned there and the different personalities into what I do now with coaching golf and all age groups and different mentalities and talent levels and everything. And, you know, it definitely helped spearheaded kind of how I go about myself and how I try to teach all my students.
Yeah. And we're going to get to that in a short break, but I do have to take a quick break, but we'll be back in 1 minute with Peter Ballard. You're listening to On Paul with Anthony Scorsia.
At Winfield United, we understand the challenges you face and the goals you have. We promise to do our best and to help you do yours. With the introduction of tools like the Geotech Insight platform and products like Droplex Extra, we are advancing the industry to new levels, allowing you to manage your time and budget more efficiently. Visit WinfieldUnitedPro.com to find a representative near you today. Winfield United, a proud sponsor of the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit Pete'sGolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers. From our MP18 family, featuring three different models designed for the better player, to our JPX family, featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness, we have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
All right, we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsha. I'm Anthony, and on the line is PGA professional with Silvermine Golf Club, Peter Ballow, who also just recently won the Met PGA Championship. It's been a little bit of an embarrassment of riches for the Ballow family, your brother winning the state open, you winning, you guys winning together, the assistant. Pretty good summer for you guys.
I would agree. It was... You know, it's turned out to be a very good summer in the Ballow household.
Tremendous, really tremendous. Let's talk a little bit about the Met PGA Championship. Tell us a little bit about sort of an interesting couple of rounds. Each round has its own little story, I like to say. And, the first round seemed to be, came out really hot. You know, go out in 31. Even on the back, and then the second round come out hot again, birdieing three of the first six holes, and then a little bit of a psycho card on the back nine a little bit, but you still were in the lead, and then a pretty even-tempered third round to finish it off. But tell us a little bit about what you were feeling each round, and then also, if you don't mind, just telling us, I know obviously you were the only person in red numbers, so the scoring conditions were extremely tough. Maybe talk a little bit about that as well.
Definitely. Starting the first day, I started on the 10th hole, par 3, and kind of got off to a decent start. Like you said, shot even par. And then kind of came out kind of guns firing and just kind of found something that day, made a couple good putts late on the back nine, and, made a lot of really good putts, hit a couple good shots in there close as well. So I kind of got off to that quick start on the back nine and kind of kept it together to shoot four under. And then, like you say, round two came out very hot, teeing off one, birdieing three of the first six, and kind of thought I was in pretty good control, and then, made a bogey on 10, but then I got it back with a birdie on 11 and 12, so I kind of like, okay, it's kind of right in the ship here, and then from there it got a little interesting, and, made a couple bogeys, made a double on 15, and kind of standing there on 16, their signature hole, and, a tough right pin, and I just wanted to get myself on the green, give myself a chance for par. To kind of flatten out the ship and then trying to take it in from there, and was lucky enough to make a really good two putt on that hole. Same thing on 17, made an unbelievable two putt, from like 30, 40 feet, and then just wanted to get myself in the house with a par on 18 and kind of was able to do that, which was nice.
Before you get to the final round, I just for amateurs out there and people listening, when things get a little crazy, what was it for you that how do you reset yourself and try to regain your composure and get things back on track?
just kind of have to fall back on, like, for me, I fall back on past experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, and everyone has it at some level, whether it's, you know, you've made a couple doubles and you're just trying to get back to a bogey, or you made a couple bogeys trying to get back to a par. You just got to, I try to use past experiences and just get myself to say, you know, really, what did I do on the front nine? You know, I played awesome on the front nine, and, you know, now 5 holes later, I've just given back 4 shots. It's kind of like, wait a second. And it's just kind of gather myself and just get myself to just kind of control myself, understand that it's okay what's happened, and now let's just restart as if this is the first hole of the day. And, you know, I was able to kind of get myself wrapped around that idea and say, okay, let's hit the green, and then let's two-putt. And, you know, that always is the easiest way to kind of go about it, is, you know, let's try to hit the fairway. And don't need to bomb it down there with driver if you don't need to. Just got to put it in a position where then you can try to get onto the green on your next shot, and then let's see if how close we can get that next putt, and just kind of play little mini games with the hole itself.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I fall back on it.
Sure. And then in the third round, you kind of just, we were on cruise control basically.
Yeah, you know, it was a different position for me. You know, that was really the first time as a professional that I had a lead at any point in time, really, like that. You know, starting the day with a 4-shot lead, and, you know, Jason Karen and Ken St. Charles and a couple other guys, Tim Pitts, they, you know, they put a little bit of a charge there early, and I kind of made a couple early bogeys. And again, I just had to kind of reset myself and kind of did that on the 6th tee box and say, okay, look, you know, we've done what we've done. We still have a little bit of a lead here. Let's kind of restart. I made a good birdie on 6. Got myself kind of in the mood now. I'm like, okay, we got the first birdie on the board. Let's see what we can do. And I made a good birdie on 9. And then kind of just kind of settled in after the front 9, and then kind of felt very relaxed at that point in saying that, you know, you're back into the groove where you were kind of the last 2 days, and let's just kind of play our game and see what happens, you know, playing with that lead. And, you know, I was just fortunate enough to kind of just keep it in the fairway and on the green, like I said, and just kind of two-putt my way around that golf course, which, you know, two-putting that golf course was really hard. You know, they had those greens in perfect condition and very quick. And, you know, if you were on the wrong side of a hole, which happened more often than not to a lot of people in the field, it was really that guy who can just kind of lag it up there close and get themselves their best chance to make a two-putt.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sleepy Hollow did a phenomenal job with that golf course that week, and the conditions were top-notch and some of the best that I've played in.
Yeah, that's it's a special place, and when it's when the greens are running, like I was just thinking of that that double you had at on 15, that green has some plateaus there that you kind of have to navigate, right? Or is that 15? So and so does 14. I think 15 might be might be punch bowl, but 14 also.
15's punch bowl, but there's some ridges in there. And,
yeah.
You know, you can easily think you hit it right on the flag, and, you know, with the depth perception and everything of that valley, you know, like I thought my shot into that hole, which was my 3rd shot onto the green, I actually thought I was going to be pretty close, and I ended up being like 45 feet.
Right.
And I was like, wait a second. I thought I hit that, you know, inside 15 feet and was going to have a, you know, an easy two putt and maybe even a good chance to make a par and, you know, save something really great. And, you know, I got to like 40 feet and 3-putted, and, you know, it was very, very easy to do it that week. And, you know, I was fortunate enough that that double was my only 3-putt of those 3 rounds.
Yep. And 14 has those 3 tiers, right? Those 3, that's a 3 plateau,
yeah.
That 3 plateau green sort of, so to, you know, it's a wild green.
From,
so
from
if you're
left to right, yeah.
If you're not on the right plateau there, you got your work cut out for you. That's for sure.
Definitely.
So was it just the, I would assume the rough was up, the greens were fast. I mean, it's a tough golf course. It could be really tough.
Very tough golf course. You know, it's one of those old school Westchester courses. So there's, you know, there's a lot of elevation changes to it. And,
yeah.
You know, green complexes that are tough and have a lot of mounds and ridges, you know, because it's built kind of up there on the hill, and you just have to kind of use the terrain that you have, and, you know, without blowing up the entire place and being able to make it your own special thing, you know, that golf course has been there forever. And, you know, over the years, you know, obviously everyone does work through the clubs, and, you know, that place has done a phenomenal job with it. And, it was just, it was in perfect shape. Fairways were great. Rough was long, and the greens were just, they were perfect to the point where, you know, the mistakes were easy to be made, but at the same time, they were rolling so good that if you knew you hit it the right speed and the right line, that the ball had a good chance of going in at the same time.
Yeah. How special was it to have your dad there on his birthday to be part of it?
It was awesome. You know, I woke up that morning knowing it was his birthday, and, you know, said happy birthday to him, and, you know, got out of the house early to just kind of get down there. And, you know, he kind of already told me, you know, I'd love to come, but I can't, you know, with everything that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm lucky enough that my boss worked for my father for 9 years and is one of my father's best friends. And he called him and, said, you know, Mike, we got to go. And he's like, I don't know. I don't want to go. I don't want to mess with him. I don't think he really wants me there. And Stu and my boss, Stuart Walk, who's a mentor of mine, was just like, no, Mike, we have to go. And he wants you there. He goes, there's no better day for you to go watch him play golf. So I was very, very lucky to have him watch, from the seventh green in, where I kind of caught back my control of my round of golf, and everything. And it was very special to have him there on his birthday with really my biggest and, you know, very first few of my wins in my professional career.
And then the cherry on top, you get to win with your with your brother, which is a lot of fun. And I'm sure growing up you guys have had your little battles and stuff like that, but as adults, I'm sure you have a new appreciation for each other. That's got to be a pretty special moment too.
Yeah, you know, it's been fun. You know, we've done that tournament now the last 3 years, and you know, the first year we kind of lost in like the quarterfinals. You know, it's such a hard event, because it's played over the whole season, so you know, you never know what's going on with someone, or, you know, the ups and downs that everyone has in golf.
Sure.
You know, but to win six matches throughout a season, and now we've kind of won 12 in a row, it's special. And it's, you know, it's also a tip to everyone that we've played through the 2 years, 3 years that we've played. You know, you play some phenomenal golfers, and, you know, in, just alone in the finals, we, you know, Josh Rackley, who won the Met Open, you know, he's won numerous things in his career, and JD Guiney is a phenomenal golfer, and, you know, it's hard. And for us to be able to do that now for two straight years, it's very special that we've been able to do this together. And like you say, we've had our battles over our years, and, you know, now that we're both in our positions and our career paths, we definitely have a different appreciation for each other. In terms of doing this, you know, if you were to ask us to have done this when we were in high school, we probably would have killed each other.
Exactly.
He would have yelled at me every time he hit a bad shot. I would have yelled at him. And,
yeah,
you know, now it's nothing, short of, you know, full appreciation for each other and wanting to see us both do our best, which we've always wanted to, but
no,
kind of the edge of wanting to beat each other is now kind of over. And it's now, you know, whoever wins, if either one of us can, it's always a special moment now.
Well, speaking of appreciation, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the program. Congratulations on your success. Best wishes to your father and your family. And really, again, I appreciate your time this morning. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Anthony. And I appreciate it, and look forward to hopefully maybe doing this again sometime.
Absolutely. All right. Take care, Pete.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, that was Peter Ballo, Silvermine Golf Club. Appreciate his time as always, and of course, best wishes to his dad and his health. Thank you for joining us this week, folks. We hope that you'll listen again next week. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsese.